Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Final hour already. Time is flying by this morning. All right, let's run down to deep South Texas, Baffin Bay Way, and check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna Dela Cruz. See what she's doing this morning. Good morning, Rihanna. What's going on?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you doing this morning?
Girl, I'm Cadillacing. I'm here. It's good.
It's yes, good. Sir.
And you?
I
How
hear
you.
Doing? I'm doing well, enjoying this beautiful morning. It's not quite as cold this morning. More humid. Low pressure seems like this morning.
Yeah, the barometer did drop overnight, and
yes,
we still got pretty good east winds, north and east.
Yes, sir.
East and east. Yeah.
Man, it was howling yesterday evening.
It
picked up. I hadn't seen it pick up like that in a while. So, having winds like that.
Spoiled with all this calm weather, huh?
We are. I'm enjoying it. I'm particularly enjoying it, to be honest with you. I know it's coming. The cold fronts are going to start coming in little by little.
I don't know how y'all do it, man. Y'all fight that wind all year long down there. That wind just wears me out.
It whips us down here big time. But really and truly, Mickey, that's really what creates a lot of our structure down here.
A lot
of our structure has changed big time because of the lack of wind. There's certain little undulation points where, it's just like at a beach. When you walk on a beach and you get shallow to deep, creates those little ridges like that.
Yeah,
on certain shorelines. Yes, on the west shoreline of Alazan, it does that. But here recently, there's some areas in there where that undulation is not quite as intense or rhythmic as it typically is. I think a lot of that has to do with our wind, because typically that shoreline, it gets beat by the southeast wind day in and day out. And because of the lack of wind that we've been receiving, those little undulation points have changed a lot, which is interesting to see how much our wind affects us back here. It's amazing. But that's just the way it goes. Baffin is a little bit more severe as far as our wind goes. Our wind can save us, and man, it can be detrimental at times when there's no wind. And I mean, I'm talking like no wind, zero to three, knots. That's
Yeah,
nothing
y'all
down
thrive on
here.
that wind down there due to water movement, you know, because you don't get a lot of
Yes.
tidal flow and current there, so y'all depend
Yep.
on the wind for, you know, water movement.
By activity, oxygen. This week started off stellar, Mickey. Stellar. Low pressure. Of course, Monday, there's not many folks out on the water, so low pressure, air pressure, and low pressure on the water. One of my clients, she and a lot of my good clients end up becoming my really good friends, and so I'm fortunate enough to call her my friend, and she comes down and fishes 3, 4 days with me, and sometimes she's like, I can't fish two. Two's just not enough. I've got to fish at least three or four. I'm like, girl, come on. And so
Another
she's
fish
just,
junkie.
yeah. And I'm telling you, she's a fish junkie just like me. We go out there, and if you don't tell her it's time to go in, which I usually don't, because her and I like to do the same thing. We go out there, we chase one bite a day, and we'll do we've fished several 12-hour days before in the last 2 months. And she's the one I do a lot of night fishing with. We'll go out super early in the morning, catch an early morning minor, early morning major, stuff like that. But on Monday, she has an area that she particularly likes for a good reason, because she's pulled several slobs out of it, and it's been holding a lot of bait. It's been holding a lot of grass. Water's clear. When the wind is out of a certain direction, depending on which way the wind is out of, it can chalk up that area a little bit. If it's out of the northwest, it clears it up beautifully. And so when it gets like that, I don't like it when it's real clear, and neither does she. Of course, most of your big trout fishermen are totally against clear water. I am. I don't like that gin clear water
No, that air
when they
clear
can
stuff.
really,
I'm with you on that.
no.
I like a good
I like a
what I
chalked
call
up.
trout green, you know, like a 2 to 3 foot
Yes,
visibility dark green water.
sir, you know it. That's what we look for in about mid-thigh deep water, which for me is like a foot and a half, foot and three quarter. Barbara, the lady that fished with me quite a few days this week, she's tall, so she can really get out on
You
that
can send
deep
her out
stuff.
deep. Go out there and
She
find
goes
some
out.
for me.
Oh yeah, she gets out there deep where I would be, it would be above my head. So she's able to really get out there on those drop-offs, which is an advantage for any angler, when they aren't vertically challenged such as myself. I stay up shallow. I'm trekking in a foot and a quarter, a foot and a half of water. Because I like to be able to set the hook low. When I get, but I keep my drag super super tight, and a lot of people, they're like, man, I can't even pull that line out of there. I'm like, well, because when I get bowed up on that trout, I don't want her coming up. I set that hook so low that sometimes I drag that rod tip through the water. That's how low I set that hook. And I don't want, yeah, it's fun to see her come up and do all that stuff if you want a video, or you want to get some good media, but you really need like those Meta glasses to do that. It's hard to hold a phone and fight a big trout at the same time. Some folks are talented that way. I'm not quite there yet. But when I set that hook, that's why I like to be at shallow like that. I like to set it real low, keep that rod tip low, and keep that fish from coming up, because they naturally want to shake that head, especially if they've got one hook in their gill plate. They will do anything it takes to shake that thing out. And we saw it this week. Monday morning, it was about 7:45, and we fished early. We got out there super early in the morning. I'll say this: most mornings when we go out there early, before sun up, we don't get anything. Nothing. Maybe a couple months back, we had some topwater bites, but typically all of our big trout have been caught after sunup. And I mean, like, well after sunup, at least 45 minutes to an hour after sunup. And so Barbara was throwing this It's a Mirror Lure 52MR series. It's a slow sinking twitch bait. It's kind of long and cylinder type looking. It's real narrow. I think I know Chris Bush. I think he likes to throw that profile. I know last time I fished with him, he was throwing something similar. He was crushing them on that. It's kind of like a double D. It sinks slow. It doesn't, well, the double D naturally floats. This one does not float. It sinks. As soon as it hits the water, it
Yeah.
sinks really slowly. Well, Barbara kind of stayed behind me. I kind of went out on this grass line and kept walking, and she just kind of lingered. I know she was thinking something. You know, when she's on to something, I'm like, she's got something in her mind. She saw something. She wasn't moving. She was behind me, and she threw right into the sunlight. I mean, the sun was coming up, and she threw right directly into it, outward, out in deeper water, and let that little 52MR sink a little bit, and that trout smoked it. It was a redhead with a white back, that mirror lure, and that trout smoked it. Came up out of the water, did all that fun stuff. I mean, jumped out of the
Yeah.
water like a tarpon multiple times, and I thought, man, that I hope that trout makes it. If she's jumping around like that, she's hooked in the gill plate. Sure enough, I went up there. She netted it, put it on the boga, and she was like, "Oh, you know, well, of course, her and our main concern is the hook set on that trout and how detrimental it can be." And when I looked at it, it wasn't the hook at the very back of that lure wasn't even barely hooked, way deep in her throat. So I was able to get that one out real easily. The second one was kind of on the inside of her hinge, like right where the hinge is on the inside. And I thought, okay, well, that's fine. You know, I've pulled out hooks many a times from that area and trout and never had a problem. Well, I pull it out and she bleeds profusely. And I thought, oh my gosh, if I could go back and read and do it, I would have held pressure on that spot. And I didn't, because I just wasn't expecting for her to bleed out that much. And so we put her in the water, kept seeing blood rushing out. And I thought, oh my God. Barbara and I were like, just like, man, this trout was fat. She was about 7 3/4 and about 28 inches when we measured her on the rod. So she had a lot of cellulite, just a beautiful, beautiful fish. And we worked with her for 30 minutes, and she did not make it.
Yeah, that
And
would happen.
I told Barbara, I said, look, in my 4 years, 4 little years that I've been guiding, I've seen it at least 3 times that I can think of right now, then that being the third. I said, it happens.
It
And
does.
most of the time when it does happen, a lot of my clients, they get that fish mounted. Then, of course, Barbara used her tag and tagged it, and is going to take
Well,
it
at least
to
you
a
did that.
general.
A lot of people would just let the trout float off dead,
Right.
spoil
It's
some
going to
more.
be absolutely. And I don't, you know, when I handled that trout, I feel so, like, to me, those fish to me are sacred. I don't know. I just have a lot of, we respect those fish, you know, being
Yeah.
an avid trophy trout angler, we respect them. And so the way I handled it, held it, you know, was
Right.
with a lot of care and respect. And you know, every time I looked at it, I thought, man, you know, this is just one less that used to live in that bay, and look what we've done. You know, there was a lot of mourning. There was a lot of sense of guilt for
Well, she
Barbara
probably
and I.
spawned off a lot of young this year, so hey.
I believe so.
She got
I believe so.
her gene pool back in the water. Let me knock this break
Yeah,
out. I'll be
yes,
right
sir.
back at you. Hang on a second. All
Absolutely.
right. Well, Bayou City Angler, that's Houston's finest outfitter. And they stock a wide variety of the industry's best gear by the most trusted brands, like wade fishing gear, fly tying components, along with rods, reels, lines, and lures. They have a great inventory of Waterloo rods, like the Slam Mag and the HP Light. They're two popular series. They got plenty of those in stock. Shimano reels, Luz reels, Sims gear, Southerly, and Poncho, to name a few. Everybody likes Poncho. An offshore tackle for the serious angler. They got plenty of that. And be sure to go by and visit a very nice tackle store. It's trusted by our community with great service. They're real easy to find. 8933 Katy Freeway. That's right next to Carter's Country and Good Company Barbecue. Again, 8933 Katy Freeway. Here's their number, 832-831-3104. 832-831-3104. Bayou City Angler, Houston's fishing outfitter. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 6:20. All right. Rihanna, we are back.
All right. Yeah. After that fish had passed on, put her in the ice box, and Barbara and I were, of course, distraught by it, and mourning that fish. I mean, we were awfully guilty. We felt guilty about it, and so returning back to fishing and doing it with the same confidence and twitching it the same way. It's hard to get back to that mentally after that. We talked about it, and I told Barbara, I said, it's not the first time that I've seen it happen while guiding. I said it's happened at least three times that I know of, and those two out of three, I've seen the fish going to be mounted, and so I'm going to see it on somebody's wall. It's going to be a story.
Yeah.
I said, some folks, they can't afford to get it mounted. Some folks, they can't, they don't have the means to do it, which I understand. So after we talked about it, we went back to fish and got back in our rhythm. And it wasn't maybe an hour later, she sticks another one. And I look over at her, and this fish is coming up out of the water. I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, Barbara on a roll over there. And she caught that one on a tail. And this one was longer. It was about the same weight, but it was, I'll take it back. It was probably about 7.5, 7.25. And those bogas, it's really kind of hard to tell, too. It was about 7.25. It was longer. The tail, you could tell the tail just kind of stretched out a little bit. It wasn't as chubby down at the tail as that last trout was, but it was still an absolute beautiful, beautiful fish. And now that one, she hooked it right. She just came up and tried to spit that lure. And that one there was about 29. The one before was 28, so that was just a stellar bite, and it, all that window was within an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours when we got on that really good bite. She caught that one on a rat tail. I think it was kind of like a pinkish color, because that water was pretty clear, and yeah. It was coming out of the, it first in the morning, it was out of the west, and I mean like straight west. Because we got there before sunup, and it was cold. It was a cold west wind off of the ranch out west. It's cooler, so we were chilly. I thought, man, I kind of wish I was in waders this morning. And so eventually, that wind started shifting back out of the northwest, and then north, and then northeast, and all the way back out to the northeast. And so we worked that shoreline from north to south, and with that northeast wind, it was really pleasant. And then, of course, early in the morning, it was blowing pretty good. Even before sunup, that morning was blowing pretty good. And then, of course, after sunup, it really died down. Just a little bit of ripple, which I like. I kind of honestly, I seeing that pattern of heavier wind before sunup, it kind of chalks up that water a little bit for prime time. And so We had a, I think that was a minor, and I think we're the minor in the morning. It was coinciding with the moon, the sunrise. And so I thought, and Barbara and I both talked about it, we were like, man, those two things falling in line, same time, this little, low pressure. And then Monday we had low pressure. And then, of course, that wind had stirred up all that area in the morning. And then it died down in the right after sunup. So, I wish conditions could fall into place for us every time, but it just doesn't happen that way. And
Well, if it
just
did, we
that
wouldn't have
day,
any fish left.
no, and it
It'd be
wouldn't be
too easy.
rewarding.
Yeah.
That's right. I agree. And it would there
But
wouldn't
I
be no
sure
reward
like
to
easy. Sometimes I really like it.
it. Yeah. It felt easy that Monday morning, and
Sure.
I didn't stick one Monday morning. I had missed one bite, a pretty good thump. I missed one, and but watching, I find enjoyment and a lot of pleasure in watching my clients succeed out there and what they're looking for. That's really and truly what and I always tell my guys, I'm out here all the time. I have these opportunities all the time. Y'all come out here, y'all take time out of y'all's schedule, out of y'all's busy schedule, and y'all come out here, once every couple of months to catch these fish. I want to see y'all catch them. I don't, it didn't make or break me if I catch them. If I catch them, then good, but I want to see y'all hook into some good ones. And so, watching Barbara fight both of those fish within like an hour and a half, it was pretty stellar. And she was like, "What more could you ask for?" I'm like, "Man, I don't know. This is about as good as it gets." And so we fished Monday morning, then we fished again Tuesday morning. And Tuesday morning, that pressure, I mean, it seemed like all the clouds left. Pressure went sky high. It was well above 30 all morning from 5 o'clock in the morning
Oh, it cranked.
to
Yeah.
it cranked big time from tw from 5 in the morning till about 12 31 about 2 o'clock it started climbing down. So we went out to Badlands. I was like, Barbara, I said, let's go out maybe towards the mouth or do something. I said, because it ain't happening. It ain't happening back here. And we did. And so we looked over at each other and we were like, should we come back out later? And I'm like, yep, done deal. So, and the barometer was supposed to start going back down in the afternoon. So we packed up, went in about 11, and then came back out at about 3 and fished in the evening, and we got on a decent bite later in the evening. The wind was kind of weird. It was out of the east. It had a lot of east in it, so certain areas when it's you're looking at the sun, you're casting directly into the sun, it's still, it's not ideal, but we were just looking for a bite and trying to do everything to find that bite, and it was tough. I'll admit it was tough, and we did that Tuesday in the morning, afternoon. Didn't find what we were looking for. Wednesday we did it again. Wednesday morning, barometric pressure was still high. We fished hard early, and it was upper 20s, low 30s barometric pressure. It was, and I can tell you how I know it's high. When my sinuses start acting up, I was sneezing. Moco's coming, just everything. I told Barbara, I said, that's how you know that this barometric pressure is high. I can feel it in my sinuses. When your hands feel chalky and you see those cobwebs flying on your rod tip, that's how you know it's high. And
Yeah, we
she
get
said,
that
yeah,
cobweb deal after these fronts, man. I tell you,
it's no
that
good.
makes for some slow fishing, and well, and usually they mean it's, we're going to see a chance of rain in about 72 hours.
That's right, and that's funny how that is.
Yeah, it is. It's weird.
Those 2 days of super high pressure, and the fishing was tough. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and then all of a sudden, right after that, what was it, Thursday and Friday, we had little showers right after it, and I love the lower pressure. It just seems like the bite those. trout seem to come up a little bit shallower. You can find them up shallow, and they'll bite up shallow. Now, when that pressure gets high like that, you know, Barbara and I in the evenings, we went out deep, and that's where we found them. She was way out deep. I couldn't even get to where she was. And so I just kind of lingered as far as I could where I was comfortable. On the last day, on Wednesday afternoon, we got on a decent trout bite. You know, nothing real big, just a good bite. Redfish and trout, but they were out deeper. You know, it seems like when that pressure rises, they just kind of get out on those drop-offs and just suspend out there, and that's where you can find them, just dropping a lure, you know, smaller lure too, because they weren't really eating those bigger profiles. And when we see the pressure rise like that, they don't favor those bigger baits. They'll go for a little John, you know, or a little profile mini soft on, you know, and you have to put it right in front of their nose. So it becomes a challenge. And so, you know, that's just the way it goes. And that one day made up for all those tough days of fishing.
Yeah.
Really and truly. Then Saturday came around, and we had this low pressure yesterday, low pressure over us, and we got on a good bite in the afternoon, and that's what we've been seeing. They're slicking pretty big time in the afternoon. Even earlier in the week, they were slicking pretty heavily off of grass lines. And on those grass lines, it's about 2 feet, maybe, you know, where that drop-off is on certain areas, where you can see it's primarily grass, and then it starts to get more sandy, and then you have kind of scattered grass beds, and then you see that color change. And that color change where it's chalky and then it gets deep blue, that's the drop-off. And all the slicks that I've been seeing have been on that kind of structure, which is structure that I favor big time.
That's the name of the game. You got to have some kind of structure. That's what holds fish. Funnel points.
Oh yes.
And, you know, conjugations.
Yes.
And how you
absolutely
sit
and
on it, stand on it and catch them, man.
Yep. And those areas have been holding a lot of piggy perch. Those little piggies. You know, they've got those really sharp upper fins, and they're kind of, you know, really rounded, but they're big. I mean, they're biting our tails big time.
Yeah, big,
I can't tell you,
love them pinfish this time of year, man. They gorge on.
Yep, they're thick right now, Mickey.
Well, I'm almost out of time. Boy, it was terrible about Craig West yesterday, wasn't it? Man, I know,
you know,
it made your day really bad. Starting off
somebody's
like that.
Yeah, somebody's boat, truck, and trailer didn't return home yesterday afternoon, and
that's a shame.
I thought a lot about that. It's a wake up call. You know, coming up on a scene like that yesterday morning was not fun to see. Something that you don't want to ever see.
Uh-huh.
Nope. And so that's why we always have to take every day as a blessing, and kiss your loved ones, and be kind to everybody, because you just never know. Life is short, and
is.
We never know when our last day on the water will be. And
be nice and have fun while you're here instead of being miserable. Enjoy what.
That's right.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
Count
yes,
blessings.
Sir. Absolutely.
All right,
every one
of
them.
Hey, it's always fun talking to you, and I'm glad you caught some nice fish this week. If somebody wants to come down and fish with you, and man, if Baffin stays good, you going to go to Mansfield this winter, or are you going to stay home and keep catching good ones, man? Cliff thinks it's going to be a good, especially December this year, too.
I believe so. And, you know, I'm already booking trips for Mansfield. But here's what I typically do. I'll come back down for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, or a week during a good moon of every month, I'll come back down here and make a week's worth of trips back here in Baffin during the winter. And that's what I'm going to do, especially if it continues to stay stellar, because I'll be here up until early December,
Yeah.
and I'll be getting ready for a tournament. The Artificial Showdown is the first weekend of December, so
Got you.
that's about the borderline of where I'll be in Mansfield and Baffin. So
All right.
we'll
Well,
see how it goes.
you're down there in the good stuff. All right. Well,
Yes,
give them
sir.
some info how somebody can get a hold of you if they want to go fishing with you, Rihanna.
Sure thing. My number is 361-296-5400. If you want to make a wade with me in Baffin Bay or Mansfield, give me a call. Let's make it happen.
All right. Always a pleasure. You have a good day, and I'll talk to you next week. See you.
Thank you, Mickey. We'll
All
talk to
right.
you
Thank
next
you.
week.
All right. Later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right. It's 6:40. Let's run down Matagorda Way now and check in with Captain Bink Grimes this morning. We're not live from the blind. I think we're live from the dock or wherever. Bink, good morning.
We're live from, got a day off.
Oh, you got your day off? Well, hey, that's
Feels
good.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, I bet it does.
Need to breathe a little bit. It's nice to be able to sleep till about 4:30 instead of 3:30. Makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does.
Of course, you would know that.
It does help. Hey, I can sleep on
that.
Command. I grab it when I can, buddy.
I
My
know.
schedule. What's up with you, man?
Man, not a whole lot. Just getting back into fishing mode for a little while, and for at least a month, and trying to get things ready for big duck season. And we've had a pretty busy week, and pretty good week of fishing. So yesterday was a lot of folks on the water yesterday, and man, a lot of fish caught yesterday too. It was.
Well,
pretty
you
good.
had a
Really
big
thoughtful.
group out of the lodge. Plus, there was a tournament too, wasn't it?
Oh gosh,
I
man,
bet it
yeah,
was
there
a
was.
rat race.
It kind of was, yeah. I didn't know they still sold croakers in October. But evidently, they
They
do.
do nowadays. I mean, I think you can
Good
pretty
gosh.
much get them year round.
Yeah, I think so. Man, I just can't remember in my life, people still throwing croakers in October. But boy. When they were pre-fishing for the tournament, I guess this group that was there, man, I saw buckets everywhere. And I said, man, I looked at my watch and it was October the 3rd. And I said, I cannot believe I see this many buckets in October.
I
So
know
I did. And
expensive way to fish.
I was under the impression that from shrimpers that once September gets here or October, I'm not real sure. That they when they fish for croakers, they have to fish for shrimp first. They have to drag for shrimp first, and however many pounds of shrimp they get, they can that's the amount of pounds of croaker that they can keep. That's the impression that I got. So that's why I thought, you wouldn't see them in the bait camps as readily. In September and October, but I guess it's become such big business now
Oh, it is.
folks just man, they count on it, the bait camps and the shrimpers and the and you know, I guess they do. So I guess that's why there's so many more of them now. But
Supply and demand.
yeah, I guess so. But well, I mean, it was kind of mind-boggling to me because it's been a. I don't think you need them, I don't think you need. I know there's a time when it gets tough, and the summertime and stuff, and we do other things than that. But,
Yeah.
I mean, man, right now it's just it's not full blown. We're not in a full blown fall, but man, it hasn't been a tough bite
No, the
whatsoever
bite's
on
been good down
plastics,
y'all's way
man.
on
Yeah.
all lures, top waters
It
and
has.
plastics I'd rather, well, I don't know, maybe they're catching, well, it doesn't have anything to do with big fish anymore because the slot's
No, it
15 to
doesn't.
20 inches. I mean,
No, it doesn't.
you get three slot fish and that's it.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with big fish anymore.
No.
So, I don't know. I just know there's there's fewer and fewer folks, especially the young crowd coming up that throw lures. And I think that's a sad thing, man, because I think it's just, I just think it is. I think they're missing out on a whole different side of fishing, you know,
yeah.
But that you very rarely see it in a young crowd now. So anyway, I mean, you know, that's just observation I saw. I'm not saying it's, but that's just what I saw. It was just kind of, kind of eye opening.
Well, in October. Yeah, that's something you don't expect to see in the fall.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Time
and
changing,
they are changing, baby. They sure are. You know, and you don't expect to see in October, you know, water readings at 80, 81 degrees either. You hope you don't see that. I mean, we've seen it in the past, but man, it's just, it got, you could tell the bite was a little different, this week, or, you know, on the backside of teal season, when it dropped down to 76, 77 degrees, man, it was just a little different. Then it climbed back up a little bit this week. And it's, you know, I mean, we're still wading wet, and, you know, and it's October. It probably will wade wet. I've got waders all this week, and probably, you know, we'll be sitting there at October the 10th, 11th, and 12th this weekend, and we'll probably still wade wet because I don't
see relief
see
in sight.
Mm-mm. No. So you're sitting on a summer pattern still, but there, it's a summer pattern, you know, water temperature wise, but things are changing too. I mean, Lord, you know, you showed up at the dock yesterday. You know, Friday was a pretty easy day of fishing. Wind kicked up, but we caught them early, and you show up at the dock Saturday and shoot the tides another foot higher, and so.
Yeah,
that helped
really
things.
Bulled
and that
up
helped.
Yesterday, man.
It was high
Friday, but man, yesterday it was really bulled up.
I mean, bulled up, and that helps things too with water temperature too, to get more water in the bay. And it helps too when the wind blows. When you got more water in the bay, it clears up quicker too.
Yes.
You know, in our East Bay it does. So I think, you know, I know we're going to have all high tides, and there's a lot of shrimp in the bay right now too. And birds are working, but they're all small fish over them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're all small fish and small sand trout underneath them, in West Bay and in East Bay, but there's just a lot of shrimp in the bay right now. So, but
well, what was your overall report card of teal season this year? What little bit of it we had?
Man, it was, I'd have to say, pretty disappointing. Overall. I'm talking overall.
Yeah, what I meant by the question. Yeah, overall.
Yeah, overall it was, because I kind of gauge it from everybody, because I write those migration reports for Ducks Unlimited. So I talked to a lot of people up and down the coast, and it was one of those deals where, man, if you had them, but they were just in isolated spots, and it was not. We never ever got the push where everybody had them. You know,
that's
9 days we just
from
just everybody. Didn't happen. Just didn't happen. You know, I had a good day that when we talked that last Sunday.
That was,
you know,
that Sunday. Y'all were was it Sunday or Saturday? You, I think it was Sunday. Y'all were banging on them, man.
Yeah, that was Sunday. Saturday we didn't fire a shot when we were on the air, but we ended up shooting some when we got off the air finally. But
yeah.
That Saturday, but then, you know, Sunday we did, and it was pretty easy, pretty easy, and it was kind of encouraging. Got a few more birds in, but it wasn't just lights out, you know. But because there was still folks around me, I just didn't hear the shooting. But what we saw was, you know, we shot our birds, and
yeah, you
I
made
think
do
about
what
80,
you had, yeah.
Mm-hmm, about 80% of them were hens. And then a few youngsters in there, but I haven't
second wave then, right?
Second wave, yeah, I have a second wave. So I this week, you know,
well, I'm sure
I go
Monday
to the bars.
Was real good after it closed.
Well, I tell you what I saw Wednesday and Thursday. Went to the marsh because the tide's coming up, so I'm checking water and checking levees, and you know, every 2 days go out there, because you can't not go out there and look if something happens and you ain't showed up in 5 days, your levee breaks on you or something, you know.
Yeah, and lose all your water, man.
Yeah,
oh,
you can't do it.
Yeah.
It'll mess you up for the whole season, so you can't do that. And I've got fresh water running, too, to other ponds, so you got to make sure, electricity doesn't go out, doesn't blow a breaker or whatever to make sure, you know, just all kinds of stuff. It's you know, just part of the deal. Well, man, I show up out there, didn't expect it, you know, sweating and mosquitoes all over me, and shoot, man, there were so many big ducks. I just, look at this. There were, you know, I probably had, I don't know, throughout the whole marsh, probably had 100, 150 gadwall that I, you know, gadwall and pintails that I saw that were not there, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. So,
and I don't
know what they rode. I guess they got tired of sitting up there, but they rode something down here, and they're going to ride this moon, this brighter moon. We're going to get some.
Yeah, get a big regardless push, big movement with this full moon coming up.
It'd be nice to get a little north wind behind them, but and help them kind of encourage them a little bit. But I got a little north wind blowing here at the flagpole right now. So, but not to push, you know.
Right.
But somebody's gonna. I mean, they're gonna ride that moon. So that tells me, you know, that moon. Well, I guess it's officially full in what, 2 days, 3 days?
I think Tuesday night's first full moon. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the 7th. So that means. That means the second weekend of
I got it right here in front duck of season. Let's see here. Yeah, Tuesday night's first full moon's Wednesday 2nd. And then we start the decline.
Okay, so that means a month from now, November the 7th or 8th, that's be the second week of duck season. We'll have another moon. So
we'll
be coming up on the full moon when it opens up. It's going to open up November the 1st.
Right.
So we'll be coming up on it. So,
boy, everything's happening fast, man. It's getting here quick. We just need some weather.
Man, it is.
We need
just weather. Need some weather.
Yeah, we need.
Yeah, you look good. Man, I'm telling you, it's so hard to believe it's October because you just
know, at least
you're
it's
still
nice
in, that.
In the mornings. You know, it's nice and cool in the mornings and then midday.
It is
hot, but
yeah, I just
what
you look up. It's October.
Call that? Indian summer, cool in the mornings, hot in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Tired of running my AC so much, you know.
I'm telling you, working overtime.
Tired of the electricity bills at the lodge, you know.
Boy,
trying to keep it at 70. Golly, it's
don't
just
get me started on
so
them light bills. Golly.
Yeah, it saves us a whole lot of money when it gets cooler quick around here, you know.
Yeah.
And all the properties you have and everything, because golly.
I can't wait for that first good front, and you can open all the windows up in your house and get that fresh air running through everything, airing it out.
Yep. And that's what, you know, and it'll, our fishing will just get 10 times better when that happens. We'll dump a lot of this water out of here, and all shrimp will come rolling out of there, and everything will go to snapping, you know, so.
Well,
just stuff we look forward to. But I can't complain, man. I mean, you know, it's been warm, but it's been a pretty good year here in Matagorda. I can't complain at all.
Well, I only
nice.
Picked one wrong ball game yesterday, and I figured the Phillies would beat the Dodgers. They had their shot, but they didn't. They blew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, the Blue Jays whipped the Yanks.
Oh, I love that. I couldn't get enough of that. And, boy, the Brewers laid it on the Cubs, too. Man.
Sure did. Sure did.
George Springer's
having we're gonna,
a heck of a season.
He is, man. He sure is. Man, people don't realize, man, he's up in his 30s now, you know.
Yeah.
We got him in, what, 2013, 14, man, he was just a pup. But, I mean, you look at it, he was in his – I mean, that was 11, 12 years ago now, you know.
Boy,
talk
time
about time
flies,
flying, you know.
I'm telling
you. Yeah, I remember the first playoff game. I watched it on a plane flight from Calgary back here when Dallas Keuchel pitched against the Yankees in that wild card in 2015. That was the first playoff game, and we beat the Yankees in that one game playoff. And I watched it on the ride home because I was duck and goose hunting in Saskatchewan, and that was a cool on the way home, that was a cool, got to watch the Astros, you know, in 2015 all the way home on a flight. It was pretty good. But yeah, that started the whole thing. That was 2015, man. That's 10 years ago now. That's, shoot, well, we've had, I was still in my 40s.
Club for a long time, man. We really have.
We have.
We're spoiled.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it just takes a little tweaking. Just things just didn't go still. We're still,
something,
you know,
injuries,
right there.
I mean,
yeah, we're
on.
Still right there.
Yeah. We were still in it.
Yeah, that was amazing.
We just didn't have
amazing
the,
we were in
the
it.
Depth to go all the way.
No.
I mean, we just
no,
we probably
didn't.
Wouldn't have made it through the wild card, but at least we could say we went to the playoffs. But that's the way it works, man.
And that's why the best team usually wins the division and wins it on 162 game schedule. Yeah. I mean, that's why.
And
that's why it does.
Playing
baseball.
The best and the hottest now. They may not be the best team, but they're playing the best and they're going to win. That's the way it works.
Yep. Baseball don't lie.
Mm-mm. No, it doesn't. It's you know, a minor league team can beat a pro team on any given day.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. You know what I found when I was playing minor league ball, you know, there was just, you know, so many great players. But, I mean, the degree of separation between all of us was so minute.
Yeah,
you know, just
right.
so minute. It was,
well, just
you get
one little,
some
little lucky flare hit one game,
yeah, it is.
And the next, and that changes your whole batting average. It's just, you know, luck of the draw.
So, I saw so many great players that I thought were great players that never got their shot. And guys that I thought weren't near as good got their shot and made the most of their shot when they got it.
That's it.
You know, the rest is history. But that was the difference. That's the difference.
Well, baseball's like golf, man. There's a lot of good baseball players and a lot of good golfers. But some just
sure are.
Are meant to be and others not. All right, Bink. Well, I got a roll, brother. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you in Matagorda and get ready for big duck season, it's right around the corner. How they reach you, man?
It is. MatagordaSunriseLodge.com, 979-241-1705. We still got a few spots in November to duck hunt. If people, you know, I know it's hard to get excited when they're getting in the 90s in the afternoon, but ducks
well,
are showing up. So.
That's,
but they will. They will. Right. They are going to show up.
All right, Bink. Have a good Sunday. Good talking to you, brother.
Everybody, y'all have a good Sunday. We'll see you.
See you now. All right, Bink. All right, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back next week, Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.